T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming at you today with the traditional holiday lineup, Whitey Gleason, Ray Ratto, of course, and Ryan Covey. I got a question for you. Ray Ratto, President's Day, is this just a day, a weekend where we honor Washington and Lincoln, or is it all presidents? As dumb as that question is, it's actually something I've wondered about. Is it like President's Day, all the presidents, or is it just those two presidents?
I don't think I'm going to fit Warren Harding into my remembrance of the day, so I think you get to pick and choose.
Okay. So it's whichever president you feel like honoring.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going hard.
As long as you keep it to yourself, because it's kind of like religion. All you're going to do is end up getting into a fist fight with somebody who likes William Howard Taft, and then you know how that ends.
Watch this. Watch how smart this guy is. Ryan, can you name the earliest president who did not share his last name with an NBA player?
You know, ever? It's so funny. We did that literally over the weekend, and I don't remember.
I was setting you up.
I know, you did. You teed me up so nice, too.
James Madison, baby.
Yeah, James Michael Madison McAdoo. Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, he was good. You know, he came off the bench, though, on that first championship team. But
sure.
Yeah, but he wasn't actually in the NBA.
That's right.
I think today's a day to celebrate all presidents. It really is. And you may have feelings one way or another about any particular president.
Right.
Don't say any names. We don't go there here.
I like race strategy. Just pick the ones that you want to honor and honor those.
Shout out Bill Clinton. That was my guy.
Nice.
I'm dedicating this show today to Bill Clinton.
I like you too, Ron Covey.
Get them girls in here. Yeah.
No, hey.
I'm in.
Well, we know that Ray is the MVP of this show, not just today, but every day.
All right, stop that now.
Well, that's true.
No, it's not. I'm just the idiot who couldn't get the day off.
Tell the kids what happened, Ray.
My understanding is you got the day off, but somehow didn't get the information wasn't distributed to you.
It's a longer story than that, but it's of no importance.
Well, we're glad you're
here. I'm not the MVP of the show, and I won't allow you to say that.
All right. Well, in my opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion. You're the MVP of the show.
I'm entitled to your opinion. I will assign one to you when you need one.
In my opinion, the MVP of the All-Star Weekend was Chris Paul, because according to Chris Paul, he was the one that told the commissioner, hey, we need to try this crazy called the Elam ending at the end where we have a target score. That was Chris Paul's idea, according to Chris Paul. And it was, who am I to dispute him? It was sensational. It worked for what is, I know it's the All-Star game, roll your eyes. But it was actually kind of worth watching in the fourth quarter. And when's the last time we could say that? Marv Albert said, it's the most watchable All-Star fourth quarter in 25 years.
Yeah. Marv Albert gets paid to say things like that about the NBA to make the moment seem
first
more important.
First three quarters, he didn't know what was going on. With the different scores and things, he had a hard time following.
Well, it's kind of unwatchable. I mean, okay, great. Hey, look, another back cut. Oh, look, another lob jam. Hey, isn't this exciting? Like, it's a chance to go see a bunch of stars in one place, tell each other how great they are. This whole weekend is a lot of that.
Yeah.
Hey, look at us living so large here. We're having a great time. I will say, the players in the NBA, by and large, look like they really are enjoying themselves and having a good time. It's a player empowerment league, and there's so much crossover into pop culture with the NBA. So they hit a lot of those notes, I think, and for their, you know, their target audience, I would say. But as far as All-Star games in general across all sports, like wake me up, you know? I mean, they're just boring as hell.
In my opinion, Ray, if I may, again, I know that you don't like me to express my opinions here. I think the problem with All-Star games is that they used to be for fans. Like, hey, everybody, you get to see all these players. And now All-Star games are for players.
Well, the difference is that 40 years ago, you didn't really get to see the guys in the other league. And in the NBA, you know, just to take this as the example, you didn't get to see many players at all a lot. So, you know, now that you can access every player in the league whenever you want, the differences don't seem to matter as much. And they've sort of, you know, made this kind of the Oscars. You know, they do the red carpet and they do all that other sort of entertainment-based stuff. So, yeah, it's not really just about player. It's about they're trying to make this a more, I'll just put it impolitely, a more bloated kind of entertainment. It's not really about the game anymore. The game is the afterthought, to the point where people finally said, why am I bothering with the game at all? And that's why they've been sort of tinkering with it lately. I mean, the year that they went like 194, 188, whatever the final score was in that game, that was the one that I think finally convinced the people in the NBA that this doesn't work anymore.
He sounds very reasonable for a guy who had today off and didn't know it.
Right.
I mean, what would your frame of mind be if you were in here because you didn't know you had the day off when, in fact, you did?
I would have left.
Yeah. So thank you, Ray.
Shout out to Ray for sticking around. I think
there are other more pressing issues
here. Fair enough.
Can we move on?
Absolutely. Incidentally,
because I will turn this into a complete dumpster fire if I have to.
In the year where it was, what, 198, 194?
Yeah.
Yeah. Incidentally, I did bet the under that year. So, didn't come in. I was rooting for stops down the stretch, and it didn't materialize. Look,
I actually want to look up the last time the under hit in the All-Star game.
Yeah, well, that's why I was going. I was trying to buck the trend.
While you guys vamp.
Sure, I was trying to buck the trend. No, it was fun. I mean, it was. And as far as the Jason Elam rule, shout out to the great former Broncos kicker, Jason Elam.
Cleveland Elam, sure.
Yeah, the Elam ending. Sorry, not the Elam rule, the Elam ending. It was interesting. I'll say this. I did circle back right around fourth quarter time to see how it would play out and, you know, how they would deploy strategy down the stretch. A little anticlimactic, ended on a free throw. I mean, LeBron pulling up from half court shooting that three, I think, would have been better. I was rooting for the team Giannis charity, though. I mean, I know they got the second quarter, so that was good. But when it was a tied after the third, you had the holdover into the fourth quarter. So that was like 200 G's riding on that or, you know, whatever it was. I mean, that was 300 grand total. It was like, let's go.
Yeah.
And I mean, come on. Team Giannis, ultimately, let's be real. When they constructed the roster, I thought, I don't think they have enough perimeter shooting guys. And Embiid tried to get going in the post. And, you know, they only shot 43-pointers to the 70 for Team LeBron. So, in the end, it was the lack of perimeter shooting.
Fourth quarter of an All-Star game, and Kyle Lowry was taking charges. He tried to take three. One of them was against LeBron, and two of them he actually got. That's incredible in an All-Star game. By the way, Chilton Autobody, text line 95795. Chris in Los Gatos says, I had a guy call in sick, and he still showed up. Ha ha, he was hungover. So, calls in sick, and then, oh, yeah, I forgot I called in sick.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that today because Ray's a little touchy about that. Am I exaggerating here, Ray, to say the future of the NBA appears to be bright in the sense that, I mean, it looks like you got Luka, you got Giannis. In terms of the magnitude of the stars of the future, right now it's hard to say. You don't know what's going to happen. But I think the NBA is in pretty good shape.
It is and it isn't, because every few years there's a new wave that everybody gets excited about. And some remain big deals and some fade. Giannis has been around a long time, though. He's not young anymore.
True, but he's not just really emerging. I mean, MVP last year in the Bucks are...
He's 25. He can play for another 10, 12 years.
Yeah. How many years has he played, though?
Yeah.
Because I
want to say something
age.
Like that.
He's a six-year veteran now.
Yes. Yeah, he's just drafted in 13.
If you're talking about young guys, I'm talking about guys second, third year.
Luka and Trey, guys like that?
Yeah, more like that. I mean, it's you always have great players. And they do, and another one comes along every two or three years. Now, what you don't get every two or three years is the LeBron, or before that, Kobe, or before that, Jordan, or before that,
Magic and Bird and Irving.
You know, I mean, there are transcendent players. You don't get those very often, but there are always great players.
Do you consider Joel Embiid a great player, Ray?
No, not yet.
Okay, just curious. I mean, his game's unique, though, and it seems like in an NBA that's ever evolving and so much played out on the perimeter now, like post guys like him and Ben Simmons, it went out of his way to say, I love playing with Joel Embiid, because there's all the talk about, is this going to fit? And I think, you know, Philly in the second half, I know it's really like the final third of the season, but Philly's one of those teams that's kind of underachieved. And I think a lot of people are going to be looking at those two guys down the stretch, how it meshes for them. And if they come up short in the playoffs yet again, that might be a guy that could be out on the market.
I disagree with Ray on what Giannis could become. Because looking at the eras in the NBA, if you will, and I have them just as you just kind of threw them out there off the top of your head. There was a Kareem, Julius Irving era, which gave way to Bird, Magic, which gave way to Jordan, which gave way to Shaq, Kobe, which became Kobe, LeBron. And I think Giannis could be the next in line. I think he could be the heir.
He could be, but would you bet your car on it not being Luka? Would you bet your car on it not being Zion?
I would, just because I think they've got a ways to go and Giannis right now, and we'll see. But you know, I mean, they're no, so
look,
good.
I'm not arguing against.
I understand your
all
point.
All I'm saying is
it's a valid point.
Yeah, that, you know, you don't know until you know. And projecting is one of the greatest wastes of time that there is, because you don't know. I mean,
well, we got 4 hours. I mean,
we're going to rampantly speculate.
Zion Williamson was a mortal lock, and then he missed the first 45 games of the year.
Well, and I think,
and now that he's playing again, people are reignited by him, but he can't get those 45 games back.
Well, and where do you put guys like Kevin Durant or Steph Curry? Aren't those transcendent players? I mean, I think Steph Curry.
I'm just curious.
Like, as far as the lineage,
that wasn't a comprehensive list.
Yeah, I got you. But I'm saying, like, I think we had that.
I didn't mention Russell. I didn't mention Chamberlain. I didn't mention.
We didn't go back that far. That's why.
But I'm even talking about, like, from the stage of, like, LeBron, and then kind of that, and then Giannis, I think, would be that next. But even within that. I mean, even in LeBron's era, like, you know, you got your KDs, you got your Kawhi Leonards, Steph Curry.
I know there's a lot of great players that I kind of glossed over, but to me, Giannis could be the next
guy
in line. I don't think KD, as great as he is, I don't see him ever achieving that exalted status.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great player. A lot of great players.
A lot of it's timing, too, like career arc timing.
And a lot of it is perception, and then it's, you know, who knows.
Right. Well, and the perception
is hard to quantify.
KD couldn't win a title until he came and joined up with the Golden State Warriors.
There
so
you go.
There's that. Yeah.
They don't market that way. He got two rings.
That's the way I look at
two
it.
Two more than a lot of people. And it's, you know, it's how he did it will be less and less important as time goes on.
Yeah. And a lot of people,
because I hate to do the math on people, but
oh boy.
He ended up having more rings than Curry did without him, or Thompson did without him. So you can make a compelling case, and should, that he took a very good team that might have been a one and done and made it a team for a decade.
Coming up, what do the Warriors need to accomplish over the second half? And a question on the text line, does Ray consider Curry a transcendent player? That and more coming up. Whitey, Ratto, and Covey.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Well, they do and they don't. It's Whitey, Covey, and Ratto today, 95.7 The Game, basking in the afterglow of a, if you care at all, if it caught any of your attention, it was a really wonderful All-Star weekend for the NBA.
I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, the NBA loves to celebrate their existence with each other and congratulate each other on their social media status and all the entertainment they provide for us. The NBA, though, routinely reminds us what a player empowerment league it really is. I mean, think about it. Like, the NFL, I don't know. It just seems like guys are having more fun in the NBA as opposed to some of the other sports. Major League Baseball's all about, you know, the rules of the game, and it's so important, and it's just so stuffy.
Now, you didn't like all the players on the court for the slam dunk contest,
well,
right?
Just, I mean, it's like, well, everybody's got a damn, like, pass to be on the floor, huh? Like, clear out, okay? Like, we're dunking here. Guys are shooting. We don't need everybody running on the court. Every time Aaron Gordon does a dunk, like, 15 guys run out. They're like, oh, snap! Oh, he did it now!
Well, Aaron Gordon was running out of people to jump over.
Right. Well,
I know this time I'll jump over somebody.
Yeah.
I need a volunteer.
Or my balls at Taco Fall's head.
Wow.
True story. The back.
Not entirely clear why you get this incensed. It's been like this for...
Oh. I'm not incensed. It's just
that's why I stopped watching it.
The only reason I watched is because I knew I was in here today.
It's because it's the sameness of it.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not doing that as a homework assignment. It's the dunk contest has run out of tricks.
Yeah. What makes
the 3-point contest has never had any tricks because it's pretty much that's all there is. It's 25 shots as fast as you can get them up. Everything else, the skills competition. Every night's a skills competition. So, for me, and this is just me,
well, that they
I look
have
at the
that.
Whole
that
weekend
be a,
and go,
an NBA
this is building up to a game I don't want to see because I don't care. And I think the thing that made this at least partially different was not so much the format, but I think the fact that they all sort of played as though Kobe Bryant was looking at them.
Oh, okay.
Because I like that.
Everything I read and the highlights I saw was that guys were taking charges and guys were hustling and they were doing things that were closer to actual basketball, so as not to sort of dishonor his memory in a weird way. I mean, I'll be interested to see what happens next year when there isn't that immediate motivation, but I think they played this as close to a real basketball game as the game deserves.
Well, a lot of Warrior fans were upset that Pascal got jobbed, Ray, out of the Rising Stars Challenge MVP award. And Jay in Oakland wasn't happy about the slam dunk contest voting. Jay, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on today?
Hey, what's up with the fellas, man?
Hey,
look, I got an idea on the whole voting thing for the slam dunk contest, the three-point contest, all of it, right? How about when it's time to start voting for the All-Star, your players for the All-Star game, they create an app to where it goes all the way to the actual game and they let the fans help pick the winners. Say there's a tie between the judges, they let the fans decide through the app. And that'll kill all the other drama, man, with certain judges having favoritism for this player or that player.
Are you accusing Dwayne Wade of fixing the dunk contest, Jay?
Hey, man, I'm not accusing nobody. You said it, man.
We all thought it, though, Jay. Don't worry. That's not a bad
Thank
idea.
You, Jay.
Yeah, in a
the
game,
Iowa caucus app, for example.
Thank you. In a game that's supposed to be for the fans, right? Like, yeah, of course, the more fan interaction you can have. And it's 2020. We have the technology. Just circling back to Kobe for a hot second, Ray was spot on in that. You know, obviously, it's still so fresh for everybody. And keep in mind, like, these are all guys that knew him intimately, like good friends of his. So yeah. It's, you know, natural that you'd want to continue to pay tribute to him. And Kobe was one of those guys that took the All-Star game real serious. I mean, remember when he was a rookie and he got voted in, you know, fan voted in, and a bunch of guys on the team were pissed. Karl Malone wasn't happy about it.
Karl Malone went to set a screen for him, and he waved him off. I'll never forget that.
George Karl pulled him out of the game. Kobe never forgot that. I mean, just things like that. Like, that embodies what Kobe was all about. Now, at the time, I kind of thought the same thing, like, yo, kid, like, earn your stripes a little bit. But now you look back, and then you saw what his career became, and you're like, okay, well, that's because my man was a competitor.
Right. Now we get a few days off, and the Warriors resume the second part of the season Thursday against the Rockets. Ray, I want to give you credit. You're the only person in the Bay Area who cares about any of this who is not already rubber stamping the Wiggins trade, a massive success for the Warriors. What more do you need to see from him before you can even say, hey, good trade?
A minimum 10 games.
Yeah, another of course, seven, right?
Another seven. And then I want to see how he plays with Curry, because ultimately, that's why if they really got him for anything other than the draft choices, that's what you have to see. Him being the best player on a team that's going to win 19 games doesn't interest me. I mean, you know, but I will say this. He has shown after three games, and really that's about 100 minutes of basketball, that he's willing to do what he's asked, and that includes play hard on defense more often than not. Losing gets old, though, after a while. So I think it'll be interesting in the meantime to see if he continues to play hard every night, because this is sort of his audition to see if his new employers believe in him or whether they're going to think, you know what, we're going to move on from this and find something different. I don't know what that different is. I'm only saying that three games is not sufficient for me. If everybody else wants to fall in love with him after 5 seconds.
I mean, it has been three brilliant games, but it's still just three games.
It's just three games. Yeah. And I can wait this out. I don't have to be the first one to declare this a success or a failure.
Have been some very good signs, though.
Sure, and really,
saying all the right things. He's playing defense.
Right now, I'm just comparing it to what D'Angelo Russell was bringing to the table. And I think inherently it's better. But yeah, three games is nothing. Like, and you got to think, Andrew Wiggins, we know the dude's talented. He was number one overall pick. Like, there's a hell of a basketball player in there. We've seen it at times. What he's really lacked is A, good firepower around him, particularly on the perimeter, which now he will have, and then attention to detail on the defensive end, which hopefully that will be imputed to him over time with the Warriors, and that'll begin to be a priority for him. If it's not, he'll get outed, and it won't work, and Steve Kerr won't want to play him, and the guys will not want to, you know, stand by him, and ultimately he'll be on his way. But I think there's more reasons to believe in three games of Andrew Wiggins that it's going to work than I saw in 3 months of D'Angelo Russell. Having said that, it's only three games, and I got to see it with Steph. And I think if he continues to go like this, where it's, okay, some growing pains, but you could see that the effort's there, and you could see the potential of where this could head, I think it's a pretty slim that the Warriors move off him this offseason. A, because his contract's massive, so you have to find somebody that's willing to take it on. And also, okay, so you trade Andrew Wiggins. Great. Who's playing small forward for you? So he doesn't need to be the best player on this team. He just needs to be like the fourth best player, and I think he can do that.
I've always liked Wiggins. I was excited when they made the trade for the Warriors. I think the biggest difference I've seen so far between Wiggins and D'Lo, besides the specifics of how they play, is the fact that Wiggins seems willing to adapt to the way the Warriors play, and D'Angelo Russell did not appear willing to do that. And maybe he was, you know, realized, I'm not even here for the long term. They don't want to keep me around, so I'm just going to do what I do and wait for them to move me. But I think that's a very encouraging sign that you have a player that a lot of people said, boy, he's just he's become a bad defensive player and a lazy player. And he looks like, Ray, it looks like he's open to doing the work he needs to do to improve in those areas.
Yeah, again, it's small sample size. But I remember after three games, people were saying this stuff about Russell, too. There, once you get rid of that new car smell and you start seeing somebody night in and night out, you get to make a more lasting and more sensible judgment. That's all I'm doing, is I'm reserving the right not to look like an idiot after 10 games.
Fair enough.
And then after 30 games, and then after 70 games.
Where are you with Marquese Chriss? Because I know a lot of people are saying now, and I understand it, he plays like it, a lot of people saying he could be your starting center. And I also just want to wait and see him do it more through the second half and against other teams that maybe are playing more competitively against the Warriors. He's played great, but I just need to see him continue to do that, because coming into this year, I mean, his career was hanging by a thread.
That's why I'm very hesitant to get excited about him. I mean, I think he's been better than they thought he would be, but I don't think it's a very smart bet to assume that the Warriors saw something in him that four other teams didn't. So, again, I'm willing to wait. The only caveat, though, is that center is less important than it used to be. So you can be okay. You don't have to contribute a lot of points. All you have to do is be a rebounder and a rim protector, and that's how the Warriors have used their centers by and large. So I think the bar is lower for him in terms of the ask. So he could be he could be a passable starter. I just don't know that you look at him based on the totality of his history and go, yeah, they'll be fine with him. I don't think that's been proven at all. All I'm saying is, he doesn't have to be as good as most center. He doesn't have to be Andre Drummond. It would be helpful, but he doesn't have to be on this team. But I'm willing to wait that out, too.
Yeah, and I think like his story's like so many others on this team. They've been asked to do more on this Warriors team than they ever would have really on any other team, surely out of desperation, a lack of numbers, a lack of firepower. And so when the Warriors are healthy, Marquese Chriss isn't going to be taking 15 shots a night. The good news is, when they have all those guys back, Marquese Chriss is going to be very low on the pecking order of what opposition defenses are going to be paying attention to. And there are times when Steph or Clay are either taking a breather or not hitting their shots where you'd like to see them be able to get some offense at other spots. You know, guys like Mo Spates over the years have come and give you a little pick and
sure.
Block. JaVale
Who's
McGee
still playing
with
in China, by the way.
Thank you. JaVale McGee with the lob jam. I mean, just, you know, a little bit of a different look. And I think if you can get some scoring from there, even the threat of scoring in the post, I think that, again, opens up everything. We talk so much about spacing. I think that gives the Warriors a really nice opportunity. And, yeah, he's not a traditional center. I mean, what is he, like 6'9", I think, something
big
like that.
Though.
He does. No, he does. He's big arms. Well, and yeah, and we know center isn't as important as it was, and you know the Warriors switch so much anyway. But that's what you need in this Warriors system, is a versatile center, can do a little scoring. Obviously, a little more rim protection wouldn't be the worst thing ever. But that's why I think you kind of piecemeal this thing at the five. If you're Steve Kerr, you roll with Chriss, you roll with Kevon Looney. Hopefully, he's over these
right.
Serious medical issues, and then you go and grab a more traditional, maybe you know, a 7-footer when you actually need just some traditional rim protection in segments of the game like that.
Steve Kerr has indicated, yeah, we got to bring in a center, you know, a true center at some point through free agency. Maybe he's talking about Wiseman. I don't know. One of the interesting things to me about the Warriors' acquisition of Chriss, and I think it also applies to when they brought in GR3 and to a degree Wiggins, although they're paying him too much money for him to fit this category. It's almost Billy Bean-like, Ray. I mean, they've been exploiting market inefficiencies. Marquese Chriss, a talented player everyone had given up on. Well, let's bring him in. Hey, look, we got something.
We'll see what they've got. Again, you know, I'm going to be the last guy to jump on this particular bandwagon, too.
We need somebody to hold down that end of it.
But all they have this year is market inefficiencies. They're not. They're shopping at the dollar store this year. Between injuries and cap squeeze, that's all they are. That's all they can do. So it's not that they're being brilliant about it necessarily. It's that this is the only option. And they have gone through a bunch of other players who are no longer here. So I think it's just, you know, you have to basically tape down the windows and wait for the storm to pass. And the storm's got another 25 games.
Yeah, he's right. And that's why also any grandiose assumptions about what the Warriors are going to look like next year. Talk to me on opening night when I see what that roster actually looks like. I mean, heck, Whitey, you and I were doing a show a couple weeks ago, and I posed the question to you, like, you know, Steve Kerr, where's the frustration level, this and that? And it's like, well, like, slow down. Like, what's these guys aren't even going to be around?
Right,
and then
right.
Even just a couple of short right. weeks later, GR3, Alec Burks, Spellman, Evans, they're all gone. So, D'Angelo Russell, I mean, five of those guys that were in the lineup that night, they're not even on the team anymore.
He would get waxed this year, and Steve Kerr would almost go out of his way to say, you know what, they're actually doing the best they can.
Well, and I think that's important to remember. I mean, when you have a team that's been to five finals, yeah, the expectation is up, but there were nights where literally nobody on the roster was on the playoff roster in the team that was in the finals like 5 months earlier. I mean, that's unprecedented. So you just have to just be mindful of the situation. And what is this year all about? Development, right? And, hey, Eric Paschal looks like a nice piece. Maybe you found some money with Marquise Chris. Wiggins seems like he might be a better fit than D'Angelo Russell. And then you hope Klay comes back from the ACL. Steph's cool. And Draymond's got more tread on the tires. And you give it another go in 2020.
On the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 209, and please, you know, put your name on it. You know when Andrew Wiggins has one bad game, everyone will say, see, I told you so, it was not a good trade. Yeah, it's probably true, but, you know, people are saying now they're overreacting to the couple good games he's had. From the 510, Marquise Chris is electric and can give the team a boost of energy, but his fundamentals are bad, and I'm not sure about his basketball IQ. I think his basketball IQ is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's playing with much more sense of purpose this year, and he's just hanging out at the dunker's position. Throw me a lob and I'll take care of it.
Right, and good for him. Like, he's a talented player. He's a top 10 pick. There's no question. And like so many of these guys this year, whether it's GR3, Burks to a much lesser degree, but a lot of these guys, what do you call them, reclamation projects? Like,
yeah.
It's a chance to show that you belong in the league. And where else can you get an extended look on a team that, even though they stink this year, like, this is a good place to play basketball, and there's reasons to believe that things would actually be pretty good here going forward. So you'd probably want to show yourself well, whether it's for Bob Myers to retain you and be on this team when they get the Splash Brothers back, or for another team to go pick you up. Alec Burks was on a veteran minimum contract. GR3, veteran minimum contract. Then Sixers were willing to part with, you know, 3 second-round picks to bring these guys in. Like, that's basically creating something out of nothing.
Ray, you've made a career such as it is. Among other things, parsing the words of, you know, teams, organizations when it comes to we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So with your expertise and your experience, when the Warriors say Steph Curry, we're going to reevaluate him March 1st, and Steph's been saying early March, do you have any sense, any guess of when he actually will be back on the floor?
Yeah, after they have their big argument about when he can come back.
Ah, really?
Because there's nothing in this for the Warriors to have him back, except to see that he's back at 100%.
You don't think? I'm sorry, excuse me.
I don't believe there's a value to holding him out longer than you need to, but I think they have learned from the Durant injury, particularly, that they're going to err on the side of caution every time. That it's not about, we got to get him back so that we can see 20 games of him. They got to get him back only and only to see how his hand is and to get him in sort of workable shape for the Olympics, because he wants to play on that team and he's earned that perk from them. So I think that's the only issue here. It's not about holding him out for draft position, because this draft blows and more people will tell you that.
But because it blows, isn't it more important than it would be to have one of the top picks?
It blows from the top. I mean, just the Warriors, more than anything else, need wings. There are not wings in this draft.
How about the value of having Steph on the floor with Wiggins as much as physically possible?
I mean, you'll get a better sense of that, but I don't think you'll see much change in the Wiggins you're looking at now, because even if he starts to flag, I mean, even if the losing starts to grind on him, once Curry's back, it's new energy, and it's how he reestablishes his place in this particular universe. Because it's not automatic that there's a pecking order here and that he must be fourth on it.
Yeah, my guess is we'll see Steph sooner rather than later, but we won't see him every game.
Yeah, and the Warriors need to navigate that very sensibly. There's no point in playing Steph a bunch down the stretch. Now, Ray's point's well taken. Steph wants to play in the Olympics, and absolutely he's earned that right. And also, Steph Curry's a basketball player making, what, $30 million a year? Like, if he's healthy, he plays. And you think Steph Curry doesn't want to play basketball? Like,
I think he does want to play basketball.
Yeah. Badly. Same reason I think even if Klay Thompson gets medically cleared in the last handful of games of the season and is cleared to play, I think he will play because he wants to give it a go.
I agree. I think we're going to see Klay, and I say that not because of what I've seen from him or heard, but I've heard Bob Myers when he was on with you guys and also when he was on ABC with Lisa Salters. He brought it up, and he did not qualify like, well, that's if he's healthy. So Bob Myers has been talking about it. I think there's a good chance we see Klay in very few, just the last handful of games.
I think they're going to be ultra-conservative, particularly with Thompson.
No question.
Because it's a more significant injury. Also, I think they're going to be ultra-conservative in general because the Durant thing scarred them. In a lot of different, I mean, their training staff got slaughtered publicly. And now they've gone to, we're going to reevaluate in X number of weeks. They don't give you even a loose timetable.
Right.
And they used to do that. So I think they're going to be deliberately vague on everything for as long as they can. And if they could introduce either one of them to the lineup without telling anybody at all, they'd absolutely do it.
Yeah, it's the.
I think they learned by getting hit in the face with a shovel a lot, right after the playoffs were over, that they don't gain anything by being forthright on injuries.
Hmm.
Yeah, under promise, over deliver, as it applies to that. You don't want to be thinking, oh, we're gonna have Steph Curry back by this date or that date. It's like, no, he'll be back when he's back, and we'll let you know. Do you think that fallout, Ray, caused a? I don't want to say an organizational change, but maybe a philosophical change with the way that they handle this stuff. I mean, because there was so much backlash, and I don't even think that they were necessarily negligent in the way that they handled the Kevin Durant situation. Like, I saw him in the hallway before the game. He's bouncing around. Like, the dude looked like he was ready to play basketball.
It's not about negligence. It's about people in their organization who didn't really deserve to get pilloried, who got pilloried. I mean, Rick Celebrini got worked over big time. And I think what they're doing is they're kind of protecting him from the ignorance of long-distance doctors without degrees. So I think that's very real.
Another factor here, and this is a little off the beaten path here, so I'll just go over it quickly. But a lot of times we look at teams and, oh, they're not saying what the guy's injury is. And you have laws that if a player says, I don't want people to know what my injury is, the team can't tell them. There's actually HIPAA laws. I mean, these are concerns, but we overlook those sometimes as fans.
And players overlook them too because they don't really – I mean, they don't
really
mind.
They can, but yeah.
But I think the Durant thing gave a lot of people religion. Now, that may wear off in time. But I think finding out how angry the uninformed can be is the sort of thing that you get to taste once, and then if you taste it a second time, that's your fault. But the first time, it's, hey, we did the best we could. No, you didn't. I know, because I never looked at him, and I'm a pipe fitter.
Right.
I'm not a
right. I have WebMD. Yeah. I checked WebMD last night.
Yeah. I read on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's a bad idea.
I mean, it's a festival of morons out there, and particularly on medical stuff.
Oh, so you have the internet too? Yeah.
Strangely enough, yeah. I'm connected to the world we live in. Yeah.
When Ryan and I are fortunate enough to join you on the show, can we call the show the Festival of Morons?
Absolutely.
In on that,
I think we could start now.
Let's do it. Rebrand the show. Let's get the imaging on it since we don't
we're not rebranding anything.
Repurposing?
That's a stupid phrase. No. We're putting a title on the show.
Okay.
It's not a brand. If you want to be branded, I will get a guy with a hot iron.
Thank you.
And I'll let him write the preamble to the Constitution on your chest.
Thank you.
Ooh. But branding is a stupid phrase, and it must be stamped out.
Do you know the preamble to the Constitution, Ray, off top?
I know segments of it. I'm not George Will.
I know segments of it.
I know bits and pieces.
I can't say that I do. You know what? At some point, we're going to have to dive in. We don't really have time to do it justice now. But, Ryan, you know that Saturday on Where's This Week, we went around and around.
Oh, yeah.
Since Andre Iguodala came back to San Francisco last week on whether or not he's one of the 10 greatest San Francisco Golden State Warriors of all time. And whether he is or not, who are the 10 best? And we barely kind of wrapped it up, but I'm not sure we ever came up with a definitive list.
I came with a pretty strong list, I felt like, as I usually do. Know what I mean? Just like
you wrapped it up with Hardaway. Hardaway was your 10th.
And I'd also like to know from Warriors fans on the Chilton Autobody text line, you know, after Steph and Clay Rochambeau'd, one of the things Clay said that really stood out to me was, I'm looking forward to seeing Andre Iguodala's name up in the rafters someday. That's got no chance, right? I mean, really? Andre Iguodala's number's going in the rafters?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I tell you what the Warriors did from 2015 to 2019 is something that they should, you know, since they put out statues for everything anyway, I'd put out a statue for every player on that first team.
Just the Hamptons Five or just the...
No.
Barbosa gets a statue?
Why not?
James Michael McAdoo statue?
I mean, you could make a statue of the other seven if you want. I don't care how you do it.
Ray's thinking of a strength in number statue where it's like the, you know, Iwo Jima guy's raising the flag and it's all the Warriors raising the championship.
Delario?
You are.
That's pretty
solid. Festival
solid.
Of morons by yourself.
That's a dumb statue. I love that statue. Yeah. Be a little disrespectful.
The point is you're trying to make history in a brand new building that has had none of it. So as a tactical matter alone, you want to glom onto all that history that the building didn't get to have.
Gotcha.
Everybody holding up Kevin Durant like he was the flag at Iwo Jima?
Thanks, exactly.
Lucas. I'm
Warriors,
in on that.
Warriors all-time top 10. Does Iguodala belong? That's coming up with Whitey, Ratto, and Covey on 95.7 The Game. This segment brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking. No compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey Gleason and Ray Ratto and Ryan Covey. Happy President's Day weekend, Valentine's weekend, NBA All-Star weekend. Sensational NBA All-Star weekend, wasn't it? I mean, as far as these things go.
It was so exciting.
People were actually playing basketball in the fourth quarter of last night's All-Star game. They had turned off the clock, and it was funny because we're watching, and my wife's asking, how much time is left?
Maybe, I don't know.
My mother-in-law
asks.
None
of your business.
My mother-in-law says, that guy's really tall. Who? Number 24. Well, that doesn't help me tonight. They're all, everybody on that team's 24.
Yeah.
Marv was struggling too. You're right. Marv had a hard time last night.
I got to admit too, I love Reggie Miller as a player. As a color analyst, I don't know. That's all. Not for me.
Gotcha.
Thank you. And I don't really have anything other to substantiate it. And it's a personal preference, how it hits my eardrums, right?
I tend to share your opinion. I also do think that he's gotten better, in my opinion, and maybe I've just gotten used to him, but I think he's actually improved.
Yeah, and maybe it was because of the All-Star Game festivities, and it was kind of a choppy broadcast.
I think Grant Hill's really good.
I think Grant Hill's terrific. I love Grant Hill. I actually think C-Web's all right. C-Web's all right.
I like C-Web, but he talks like this, and he ends every sentence like
upward
this.
Inflection?
Yeah, everyone, when he makes his point. Here's a question for you, Ray, on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Does Ray consider Steph Curry a transcendent player? Will you answer?
It depends on how you define transcendent. I mean, I don't think you're going to look at him and say he was the most dominant player of this decade or this era.
Beyond or above the range of normal or merely physical human experience.
Okay. I don't know that you can really have.
That's true.
I mean, look, he's an extraordinary player, and he's acknowledged as such. The problem is if you say, in the years that Curry played, who was the best player in basketball?
LeBron.
Yeah. That's sort of how I was defining it. I wasn't trying to omit Curry for some
Why do
weird...
you hate Steph Curry?
What?
Why do you hate Steph Curry?
I don't hate him because I only have so much room for hatred, and much of it is taken up by you.
Fair enough. I think...
No, I just think that when you think of this decade...
I think you're 100% right. And
rightly or wrongly.
Staring you right there in the face.
Yeah. People will say, oh, yeah, that was the LeBron decade.
Yeah.
And whether it's right or not, whether the... You know, he's got, you know... I mean, he's got the same number of championships as Curry does. So, I mean, I don't think that, you know... Curry's changed the way the game is played.
And that's,
but I think that's going to be appreciated more in time. It's not really being fully understood and appreciated now. But with LeBron, you could see it right away that he was, in and of himself, a force of nature. And I think, I guess that's what I'm talking about. Guys who put their name on a chunk of time in the history of the game where you thought of them first.
Yeah, and LeBron was like that from day one, right? I mean, as soon as he came into the league,
was.
Even though you didn't go to his debut up in SAC,
I had to get up early the next day, Ryan.
Best Whitey story I've ever heard.
We had season tickets, but I had to get up early.
Didn't even go to LeBron James' freaking NBA debut up in SAC.
My kids win. I watched most of it on TV.
I think he had a press pass, too. Still could have gone. Didn't go. But anyway, I digest. So the thing with Curry is, other, you know, LeBron, like I said, hit the ground running, and it was apparent from day one, oh, my God, this guy's special. He's going to be special. He's one of the best players in the league, like the minute he puts on shoes and goes and plays. Steph, it took a couple of years to get going, so he wasn't that dude from day one. He had ankle injuries, and we were talking, like, what, year four, year five, before it was like, oh, wow, Steph Curry, pretty damn good. Like, we knew he was good, but, like, all-star, championship caliber, took a little while to get going. And it'll be really apparent Steph's impact on basketball when the next generation, the kids that grew up emulating Steph on the playground, shooting threes, emulating their game after him, start to make their way into the league. Like, you know, Trae Young kind of being the beginning, but I think in like the next 10 years, we'll see a lot of that. Guys that, you know, rocking 30 and, you know, hey, who is the guy you modeled your game after? Steph Curry.
I'll tell you this, though. If I were good enough to play with either one, and I shot in my brother-in-law's backyard this morning, I made a couple of layups. But if I were, I would much rather play. When if you're a basketball player, which of those two guys would you rather play with? I think you'd rather play with Steph than LeBron. And I say that because I remember on one of those NBA roundtables, it was Kenny Smith, and he was talking about those great Rocket teams, and this was a couple years ago. And he said, you know what? Akeem Olajuwon, an all-time great, he never referred to us as his guys. We were teammates. And Kenny Smith said, I always appreciated that. You know, LeBron, how many times, and I know he's entitled, but still, my guys, you know, he always talks about my guys, like, I'm LeBron and they're my guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's off-putting.
Yeah,
that's part of the reason that LeBron is nauseating to me.
Steph Curry, strength in numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a stylistic thing that, you know, you get to define any player the way you want. I mean, it's just arguing about that is, you know, just tooth-grindingly dull for me. But
what would you like to argue about? I'm just curious.
Whether you're flammable.
Probably. Douse me with enough.
Let's try.
I'll get going. All right. Yeah. Let's get. Hey, matter of fact, we stay in this room much longer. I think we're all going to be flammable. Oh, my goodness.
This is fine.
It's not, though. Like it real toasty. It's not fine.
Well,
I'm sweating out booze. I'm about to pass out in here. Okay.
I can't be responsible for your latent alcoholism.
But fair enough.
No, I just think that. If you're talking about LeBron James, he is a guy who said, I'm a great player. I know I'm a great player, and I don't mind showing you that. Bill Russell was the same way.
I know.
Chamberlain was the same. Every extraordinary player. I mean, and I would say, again, my definition of transcendent, a guy who you think of right away in terms of, all right, player of the decade. Oh, yeah, it's LeBron.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, absolutely the same way. I mean, just that's what they are. They are naturally acquisitors and predators and bullies and extraordinary talents. I mean, that's what you sign up for. And it's true not just in basketball, but in every sport. Tom Brady is very much that guy.
Yeah, the apex predator in his sport.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, I mean, baseball... Who was better at that than Bonds?
The interesting thing.
I think it's the nature of the beast in that we invest so much energy, attention, and money in sports that they are obviously going to act like they're royalty.
It's interesting to me that you mentioned three guys, and I'm not just disagreeing with you at all, but you mentioned Russell and you mentioned Chamberlain and LeBron. And LeBron and Chamberlain together don't even have half as many rings as Bill Russell won. And he's never mentioned as one of the greatest players of all time. He's never.
He's got 11.
It was just too long ago.
Yeah. No, but you know what? That's not an excuse anymore. I mean, I would have bought that 20 years ago, but you have in front of you on your phone all the collected wisdom of the universe. It's right there. If you want to find out who the greatest players in the history of your favorite sport were, it's right in front of you. You know, so basically, if you're saying, well...
But we're so visual, there's not as much
video anymore.
So visual.
No, it's our arrogance in saying that when every time I hear the best player I ever saw, well, that's not a standard. I mean, the standard is, was he one of the best players ever or not? And you can actually look that up and be more informed than you are. But saying the best player I ever saw doesn't mean anything. I don't know what your attention span was.
Well,
I don't
Ryan
know
and
if
I,
you only watched one conference. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't mean anything.
Ryan and I on Saturday tried to cobble together the list of the 10 greatest San Francisco / Golden State Warriors of all time. And we struggled with it. We came up. Is this what we had finally, Ryan? Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iguodala, KD.
Yep, Hampton's five.
Barry, Mullen, Wilt, Nate Thurmond, and Tim Hardaway?
Yeah, I think that was what we ultimately
settled on. That's what we ended up
on.
With, and it was difficult. I know we talked to Gary St. Jean.
He wanted Mitch Richmond on there.
Ryan, he threw some elbows. He said, and I think he said he would not have Iguodala in there.
Yeah.
And I tried to find a way to argue that Wilt was not one of the greatest San Francisco Warriors because he wasn't here long. He's, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, the numbers are obscene. There's no question about that. He was only here 2 years. Of course, he averaged like 44 points and 27 rebounds.
It's filthy.
But, Ray, if I may get your professional opinion on that list, how does that list sit with you? 10 greatest San Francisco Golden State Warriors of all time. Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iguodala, KD, Rick Barry, Chris Mullin, Wilt Chamberlain, Nate Thurmond, Tim Hardaway.
Well, the first thing I do is go to the Hall of Fame because that is a standard everybody can pretty much agree on. I mean, you might have one guy here or there, but, you know, Guy Rogers made the Hall of Fame, and he played here almost his entire career.
Wow. He was a point guard, right?
Yeah. And, you know, he played in two championships when they got to the finals. That counts.
Al Addles?
Al Addles, though, I think largely that was more as a coach and sort of standard bearer for the franchise.
With the butterfly collar, sick.
The leisure suit?
No.
So tight.
I mean, Jamal Wilkes.
I know. Rookie of the year for a championship team.
I mean, Bernard King.
Do you think anyone needs to be represented here in the top 10 from the We Believe team just because of what they meant?
No, it doesn't matter what you mean. It's a matter of what you did. And what they did was make one playoff.
Agreed.
And they were fun to watch. I mean, Baron Davis was an absolute, you know, visual joy. But you get to the second round one time in an otherwise barren desert of no accomplishment.
Baron Davis, not Baron Desert.
Did I say Baron Desert?
No.
Well, no, you did.
You said it right.
No, you said it right.
I'm
kidding. He was being me for that moment. I'm trying to poke you.
Wow, there's no greater insult.
You're stoked. No Shrews, Marshall.
I mean, but no, I wouldn't put any of those guys on that team because at some point you have to have a standard. I don't know what the standard is. If you just want to say people that were fun to watch, yeah, I'd put Baron Davis on that team easily. But that's not what you ask.
Wendy Gleason, Ray Ratto, Ryan Covey, we welcome you to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
888-957-9570, Chilton Autobody, text line 95795. If you want to get a nominee in for the 10 greatest warriors of all time, now's the chance because we're just about to wrap this thing up, or at least I thought we were before Ray started pulling it apart a little bit.
Look, and if you want to put somebody on the list, you got to take somebody off. And are you taking off Tim Hardaway 6 years with the Dubs? He was great. Absolutely terrific. The killer crossover. I'm not taking Tim Hardaway off the list until somebody gives me a real, truly compelling reason why. I'd rather take either like a Draymond off or, I don't know, maybe an Iguodala. But the problem is, like, The rings speak pretty loudly. But the Hall of Fame test, five of those guys can't possibly pass it because, well, they're still playing.
Right.
Of which, though, only two are going to make it.
You don't think Clay's going to be a Hall of Famer?
No, I thought Curry.
Well, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's on the list. Kevin Durant's going to Hall of Fame.
That's true. But, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, here's a classic example. A guy played 3 years. You know.
I know. Pretty damn good 3 years, though.
No. Let me.
Sorry. Don't get mad at me, Ray.
No, you. I will become irked.
Okay.
I
mean, we got three more hours.
I mean, if you're going to set a standard about how long you have to be there, maybe he doesn't make this team. I mean, Bernard King matters. Jerry Lucas matters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm just talking about guys who went to the Hall of Fame and they were impactful players while they were here. I'm not comparing Jerry Lucas to Kevin Durant. So your fixation on the text line, go ahead. I'm just saying that if it's about length of stay, then there are a lot of great players who don't get to be on this list. If it's about what you did while you were here, you know, and it's more than just 1 year, then, yeah, I'm looking at Chamberlain, and I'm looking at Wilkes.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to be Trump card.
And I'm looking at Lucas.
Trump card Timmy here, but, you know.
Hardaway.
Kevin Durant was here longer than Wilt Chamberlain was.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was just so, so good. I think there's probably, if we went with like 14, like a roster, I think we'd be fine, right? I think we'd be in pretty good hands.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.